Okay, so I got some stories. We just went to Disney World and we went on that new Rise of the Resistance ride that they have at Hollywood Studios, and there's a whole story. I'll tell it to you. So they opened that ride on like a Thursday, and we showed up on that Thursday. I think that's how that worked out. Not 100% sure. All I know is it was brand spanking new. And we got to Orlando at middle of the day on Thursday, so we decided since we're here and we don't have much time to really go to any of the good parks, we may as well go to Epcot because we hear that it sucks. So we went to Epcot. Yeah, it does suck. People might say, but wait, there's a Frozen ride there that is amazing. And there is a Frozen ride there, and it's kind of amazing. It's really good the first time. But when it loses its luster on the second viewing. I don't know. It's a lot like Pirates of the Caribbean, but instead of pirates, there's Let It Go and snowflakes. There you go. Except pirates, they can send a lot of people through that because it just is a little boat track. So they can send boat after boat after boat. This one, now spoilers if you're going to Disney World anytime soon and you want to go in fresh, but the Frozen ride will grab your boat and it sends it backwards, which I assume means they can only handle so many so fast because each boat kind of gets put into a little track that switches it and then it goes. So now I'm no Imagineer, but I'm thinking that slows it down a little bit. They have to space those boats out. So the line is for fucking ever. Takes an eternity. What was I talking about? Epcot. Yeah. Boo. Anyway, next day we're going to Hollywood Studios and we're going to check out that new ride. So we figure it's going to be busy. So it opens at 9. We'll get there at 8:30. Geniuses. And when they open up the gates, we'll fly and we'll run over to Rise of the Resistance and it'll be so good. But what they didn't tell anybody, and I mean anybody, because we looked for this information after the fact. When we showed up at 8:30, we noticed everybody, the park is open. What's happening? There's just people going in. It's what I thought this opens at 9. And yeah, it does open at 9. They didn't tell anyone that they opened the park at 6 a.m. because of Rise of the Resistance. And the way that you get on to Rise of the Resistance is you open up the My Disney Experience app and you get what's called a boarding pass. And it gives you like a number, and then the ride throughout the day, it's like, hey, we're now doing number this through this. So all the people that were there at 6 filled the ride up for the rest of the day. Yay! Magic. So we walked up to the ride just to see what the deal was, and well, actually, that's not true. We thought you needed the boarding pass to even get into Star Wars, like Galaxy's Edge. Which we were just wrong. You needed the boarding pass to get on the ride. We thought we couldn't even go into Star Wars Land until we started wandering around a little bit. And it was like, well, wait a minute. No, hold on. I see the portal to go over there. And there's like a ton of people coming and going. I think we can just go over there. So we asked some person in like blue. And we're like, hey, are we allowed to walk over there? And she was like, yeah, you're allowed to walk over there. And they had the Millennium Falcon ride, which is fine. It's okay. It's just that you're in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon and there's a screen and you do like kind of like Star Tours, except you press buttons on the side of the Millennium Falcon as you go. You get like a score at the end. It's okay. It's decent. So we were bummed that we didn't get to go on there. But the lady that we talked to, who was like, yeah, you can go over there, said that the day before, what they did do is they opened up more boarding passes later. So to keep checking the My Disney Experience to see if you can get a boarding pass, which was obnoxious. Because then the entire time, every time we go on a ride or stand in line, we're just like hitting like reload, 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 reload. No boarding passes, reload. It was a bummer. But it was like, okay, well, then I guess we just got here. We're gonna be here a couple more days. I guess now we know to just show up way early. Let's go get a funnel cake. So it was later on at night, and we did get a funnel cake. And I'm eating that funnel cake, and my hands are sticky. I need to wash my hands. So I'm just kind of standing there with my hands up, like, what do I do with this? I need a bathroom. I need to wash my hands. And then this lady comes up, and she's like, hey, you. Yes, me. Yeah, you. You gonna be here like the rest of the night and like all that? I was like, yeah. Like, why is this lady asking me if, like, me and Kirsten look at each other, we're like, why? We just want to wash our hands. We have funnel cake. Why are you asking us this? She says, I'll tell you why I ask you this. We were in line, because she had, like, her family with her. We were in line for Rise of the Resistance. And it broke, because apparently it breaks a lot. It kind of makes sense once you go on the ride. It's like, it's intricate. She's like, it's broke. And they gave us this little fast pass ticket, like a paper ticket. And they said that we could use it on any other ride, and we're leaving, and we're not coming. We're leaving like tomorrow. We're leaving to go back home. So if you guys want this little like fast pass, here you go. And we were like, oh, cool. We'll take it. So she walks off. I look at Kirsten. It's like, hey, you know what we should do? We should go over to Rise of the Resistance and ask them if they're going to open that thing up again tonight, because then we could maybe finagle our way on there. So we go over there. And in front of Rise of the Resistance, they have like two rows of cast members, arm to arm, basically, with iPads, like a blockade, making sure that people don't like sneak on and you have the right boarding group and all that kind of stuff. It was a big deal. Which, by the way, this Rise of the Resistance ride is about you being a rebel and you're fighting back and all that kind of stuff. And then they have this Disney cast member blockade making it so I just wanted to sneak on. How hard could it be? There's a lot of like flora and fauna, whichever one of those means plants, around the ride. I bet you if we walk sneaky enough, we can get... Anyway, we go up and they're like, no, we're not going to be opening up the ride the rest of the night. But what you can do is you could, I can load that paper ticket onto your magic band, which is like a little wristband that you tap on stuff to like pay for things or to go on fast pass rides. You have a magic band. She's like, I can load that onto your magic band, and then tomorrow you can come and go on the ride. And it was like, perfect, that will work just dandy. Except tomorrow we had planned to go to Animal Kingdom for the entire day. Whatever, we'll wake up early, which is what we did. We showed up early before Animal Kingdom even opened, just assuming that Disney probably opened Hollywood Studios again at 6 a.m., which they did, and they told nobody. Open again. So we go and we go on the ride, and it was pretty good. It's pretty good. Kirsten liked it a lot. She was a huge fan, but that's pretty good. Nah, it's pretty good. It was pretty fun. It's pretty intricate. Like, there's full-size AT-ATs in there, and they're staring at you, and it was pretty fun. What was really cool about it is, odds are most people who listen to this are probably not going to go on it anytime soon, so I may as well tell you what happens. You, like, start off on a transport ship. It's like, all right, go, go, go. You're the rebels, and you're leaving the base because the Empire's coming. We got to get you out of here. And you stand on, like, the little... It's like Star Tours again, where they got the screen in the front, and they just kind of, like, move you a little because you're standing. You're not, like, sitting or strapped in. And the Empire catches you on this thing. They're like, oh, we got you, you're in a tractor beam, you're coming up to the Death Star, ah, we got you. And then so you just entered the ride from like where the line ends, and the doors open, the same doors that you walked through, and they must have moved us because all of a sudden we're inside like the Death Star, and you walk out and there's like a bunch of stormtroopers all set up, and you can see like outside into space beyond them, and they're just like animatronic enough where they're like moving a little bit, where it's like you'd kind of buy that it's a bunch of dudes staring at you. It was cool. It was a fun ride. But, so we were there so early that we... So here's... Okay. So I'm now the proud owner of a Porg mug. You know Porgs from the movie The Last Jedi that I love to hate? I have a Porg mug. Here's how it happened. We go over... We're so early that they have this cantina there that is kind of just a drink shop. It's not like a restaurant. But we're there so early that it's so popular that you kind of need a reservation to get into it. We're there so early that they're just like, come on in. So we go in and they're like, what do you want? And it's like, well, it's morning, so caffeine. What kind of coffee drinks do you have? And the waitress points at the coffee drinks and I look at them. And to the right of them is like, ooh, get your drink in a commemorative Porg mug. And in the moment, it made perfect sense. Why wouldn't I get a Porg mug for my festive drink inside of this cool cantina with a robot, a droid DJ, and in an aquarium, they had like a weird-looking frog thing that's in like Return of the Jedi on Tatooine, and it's like breathing. I got a little wrapped up, okay? It happens to the best of us. I was excited, okay? Anyway, it was fun. But so then I have this Porg mug that comes in a box, and I have to carry that around because we weren't going to go back to the hotel, and I couldn't figure out how to drop it because you can drop off packages at the front of the park. But it wasn't big enough to worry about dropping it off and picking it up. But it was definitely big enough to be a pain in the ass to put in the backpack that we were carrying and haul around all over Animal Kingdom. And we did bonus hours at Animal Kingdom, which is basically if you pay another $100, you can get an after hours ticket where you get to hang out for 3 hours and get free popcorn and Mickey ice cream bars. And all the lines go away because most people think that's a stupid idea. I'm not paying $100 and some odd to hang out for 3 hours, but we were like, fuck it. We had dual income and no kids. We're going for it. And we did. And we actually we tallied it up. We ate enough popcorn and Mickey ice cream that one of our tickets paid for itself. So, boosh. Take that, Disney. But that's how I ended up with a Porg mug. Yeah, that's a fine treasure that I'm sure I'll value forever. I'll probably pass that down to my kids, and from my kids to theirs, it'll be an heirloom, the Porg of Grandpa Yiff. Okay, now I'm gonna pause it now, and I have a part two to this about Sleeping Beauty being a bitch. That's right, you heard me. Hang on. Okay, part two. Why is Sleeping Beauty a bitch? I'll tell you. We're at the Magic Kingdom, and we have reservations for what's called like Cinderella's Royal Table, which is a restaurant that is inside of Cinderella's castle. Cool, right? Yes. When Kirsten told me about it, it sounded like fun, so we're going to do it. And we go to check in, and the first thing that I notice is there are a bunch of little girls in little princess dresses. Now, we're at Disney World, so there's already a bunch of little girls in princess dresses, but they have congregated at this booth, and I start thinking to myself, uh-oh, this could be an activity for like little girls. Yeah, guess what? Having dinner at Cinderella's Royal Table, it is an activity for little girls, because here's what happens next. We check in, and the hostess lady she goes, oh, so what you're going to do is you go through these doors, and you'll get your picture taken with Cinderella, and then wait for your name to be called, and you'll get to go up to the restaurant, which is like second floor of the castle. And I immediately start thinking, okay, so like me and my 30-year-old wife, like we don't really need a picture with some 22-year-old in a dress. As much fun as that sounds, I think that might be weird. Not just for me, but for Cinderella too. No one's going to enjoy this. Can we just yield our time to the 6-year-old from Kentucky instead, please? But they don't really give you an option because you walk through the only doors and next thing you know, you're behind velvet ropes that are leading you directly to Cinderella. Yay. But I hatched a scheme how to get out of it. So it's not really much of a scheme. Basically, when nobody was really looking or paying attention, I just unclipped one of the ropes and walked to the other side of it and then clipped it back. I know. Brilliant, right? But it's kind of funny because then a bunch of like other, because there was other old, like we were the only people there without kids that were like, uh-oh. So another couple followed us, which was just kind of funny. So then we go up to the restaurant, we get sat down, and our waiter, Gustavo, one of the two, hands Kirsten a plastic wand and hands me a, because she's a princess. He's like, oh, you're a princess? He had an accent. You're a princess, you get this wand. And you, sir, are a knight, and he hands me a plastic sword, which is bullshit. Well, I don't understand why I'm a knight. So she gets to be princess, then I call dibs on being prince. Knight, boo. Prince, yay. Shenanigans. Anyway, he's explaining, like, the menu, and you can't understand. Like, he sounds cool, but I can't understand a word that he's really saying. But I did hear he's like, and soon the princesses will come. And I'm like, who? Huh? Yeah, princesses. We're at Cinderella's castle. Princess, what? So he leaves, and I start thinking, uh-oh, this could be one of those, okay, I know that, like, kids can have breakfast with Disney characters, and, like, you know, you get your Mickey Mouse pancake, and the Disney characters come to your table and say, hey, I hope this isn't that same thing, but with princesses. And as I'm thinking that, you hear like Snow White, and then Snow White comes walking out, and all these little girls are like meerkats, are like, and they're all just staring at her. And Snow White's like, hey, and then wouldn't you know it, like a bumblebee going to flowers, she starts popping around from table to table. And I'm like, shit, I don't want to have a she's going to come over here and it's going to be like, hey, Snow White, you don't want a picture with Jeff. And I don't want a picture with Snow White. We're good. Just move on, man. I'm just here to have my little plastic sword and get out of here. We're fine. So she starts making the rounds, which was actually kind of fun to watch, because you get to watch like these little girls are like so excited and they're all just staring at her. Like they're just fixated on just like, where's she going? What's she doing? Is she coming here? Where's she going now? And so like we're sat like above a little bit. And then to our left, it drops off by a couple of feet. And then there's another table. And that table has like a little girl who's like 6 or 7 and an older sister who's maybe 14 and an older brother who's like 14. And then another littler brother, but he doesn't really come up in the story. So let's just say it was 3 kids instead. Anyway, so Snow White comes up to him and they take a group picture and she signed in like the autograph book. And it was just kind of fun to watch all the little girls just being so excited. And then next thing you know, they're like, Sleeping Beauty. And it's like, oh, great. Oh, so it's not just going to be one awkward conversation. There's going to be a parade of these 22-year-olds prancing around this place. Ooh. that's so awkward. So Sleeping Beauty then walks over to the table. We're watching her go around. She walks over to the table that's below us. And they take like a group picture. And the littler girl takes a picture with Snow White. Or not Snow White, Sleeping Beauty. She takes a picture with her. And then the older, kind of nerdy, 14-year-old-ish daughter goes to take a picture with Sleeping Beauty. And it's going to be like a side hug type thing. And the 14-year-old kind of like, when they go to do the side hug, she leans her head down onto Sleeping Beauty's shoulder. And Sleeping Beauty is like, what the fuck? Like, she like recoils back and is like, no, uh-uh. And then they go in to do the side hug again. And once again, the 14-year-old goes to put her head on the shoulder and Sleeping Beauty like freaks out. And she's like, no. So what we're going to do? Because then she has to have a conversation. Apparently she's like, we'll just do like a side hug. And like, you can just put like your arm and like my hand together. Like kind of like a knight would shake hands. You know how like they would like grab each other's wrist. I guess I'm not a historian, but I've seen Knight's Tale. So that's close enough. She's like, that's what we're going to do. And like, so they take their picture and then she keeps going. And me and Kirsten just look at each other. I was like, what the hell was that about? Like, you signed up to be a Disney princess, which means you're going to get like all sorts of shapes and sizes are going to be hugging you and putting their hand on you. Which if it's like a kid, you know, whatever, like that's kind of the deal. Like if I grab Sleeping Beauty weirdly, that's a different story. But if it's a 14-year-old girl, I mean, whatever, if she wants to put your head on her shoulder, then that's what you get to do. That's why you make the big bucks, Sleeping Beauty. But then I look down at the table where all this went down, and the 14-year-old girl has got her back to the restaurant, which now she's like kind of facing our table, but like kind of like where our feet are. And she is bawling and her mom's like rubbing her back and they're like talking about it. And it's, oh no, I felt so bad for her. So I don't really like talking to strangers. As I record a podcast, I don't really like talking to strangers. But I felt like I had to say something. So it was like, hey. So, and they like look up. They're like, oh no. Oh, and then they're like, oh, you can probably hear everything we're saying. It's like, no, actually, like we can't hear what you're saying. I just saw that you were crying. And we saw what happened with you and Sleeping Beauty. And we just want you to know that was not your fault what had happened. That was Sleeping Beauty being weird. I don't know what her problem was, but like, she shouldn't have acted like that. So don't feel bad. Like you didn't mess up or you're not like that was her bad. And then like she gave the best 14-year-old answer ever. Cause like she goes, yeah. And Sleeping Beauty's like a stupid princess anyway. She's only in the movie for like 16 minutes. And it was like, cause I see it as a 22-year-old pretty bitch snubbing a little girl. But the little girl sees it as Sleeping Beauty, who's a lame princess, just gave her like a cold shoulder. I was like, yeah, Sleeping Beauty is a lame princess. So, I don't know. She kind of started to pull it together, because the next thing you know, here comes Princess Jasmine over to their table and they get up and do like the group picture. And 14-year-olds like wearing glasses, they're like steaming up. You felt so bad for her. So Jasmine comes up And they do their group picture and that whole thing. And then, like, the mom of this little, of the girl does the worst mom move ever, is after the group picture, they're going back to sit down, and mom goes, "Hey, can 14-year-old get a picture with just Jasmine?" And 14-year-old's like, "Mom, I'm going to kill you. I just want to die right now. Don't do that." And Jasmine's like, "Yeah, I'll give it, sure." But the 14-year-old's like, "No, not having it." Which, like, yeah, mom, come on, dude. Like, she's embarrassed and she wants to drop off the face of the earth. Don't be putting her on display and being like, "Hey, one-on-one pictures." So, I think that got her back worked up a little bit. But anyway, eventually, 14-year-old's got to go to the bathroom. So she does. And mom takes this opportunity to go talk to the management and be like, "What's the deal?" Which is makes total sense. It's expensive to come and hang out at Cinderella's castle at the restaurant. And if I were the mom of this girl, like, I didn't spend a bunch of money to make my kid cry. And then, like, she's not going to just cry now. She's going to be upset when we leave. She's going to be upset tonight. This is going to be a whole thing. What is this? But the 14-year-old comes back while mom's out talking. And she sits down at the table and she looks panicked. And she looks at the other kids and she's like, "Hey, where's mom?" And they're like, "Oh, I think she's talking to somebody over there." And, like, the 14-year-old, like, turns over her shoulder back towards our table, just loud enough for me to hear. And she goes, "Fuck." And it's like, so, okay, you're old enough to say fuck, but still young enough to think that you don't see Sleeping Beauty as a 22-year-old douche. You see her as the actual character. That's a fun age. So, yeah. Oh, by the way, so then I'm worried about now I have to talk to these fucking girls coming up and being like, "Hey, Sleeping Beauty never made it to us, but guess who the first one to come up to us is?" It's fucking, no, wait, sorry. Snow White didn't come to us. First one to make it to us is Sleeping Beauty. And she's like got this weird, like, "Hey," like soft. I don't want to do the impression because it's weird, but she's got like a soft voice and she's like, "Hey, looks like you brought your own princess." And I'm like, "Eh." Cause I'm mad at her. Damn it. And she doesn't know why, but she doesn't have to know why. I'm pissed. She's like, "Oh, you brought your own princess." "Yeah." She's like, "Oh, you guys having a fun time?" "Yeah." "Oh, do you guys want a picture?" "Nah." And then it's like, because she doesn't know why I'm mad at her. And I wanted to get into it with her. But on the other hand, there is a slight chance that maybe something happened I didn't see. Like, who knows? Maybe the 14-year-old, like, jabbed her with a sewing needle. And that's why she jumped back so weirdly. It could happen. And plus, Sleeping Beauty still got a gig to do. Like, I didn't see her go up to any other tables because we were so involved in what had happened. But who knows? Maybe the 14-year-old was goofy and maybe she's doing a just fine job for all the other girls. Like, you know, this isn't about me. But it was awkward. It was a good time. So that's why I'm upset with Sleeping Beauty. And that's how I got a pork mug. And a funnel cake. Haha. Goodbye.